Scripture as far as all these details that come together. And in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, and I pray that you've been reading through Luke chapter 1 and 2 and just as you prepare for the season. But it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among them whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Tonight I want to talk to you and speak to you from a sermon I entitled, "When Promises Are Kept." When promises are kept. I just spent some time in a hospital room with one of my good friends. Luis and I have been friends. He comes to the church here. And Luis and I were sitting in his hospital room. And I made Luis make a promise to me because he's sitting in the hospital room for one reason. Because he was dared to get on a hoverboard yesterday. And he got on this hoverboard. He didn't make it. And he is sitting in Lehigh Valley Cedar Crest Hospital right now. My friend, who I love, going stupid, 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 stupid. And I said, "Okay." I think he's 57 years old. And I said, Luis Vanegas, please promise me right now that you will never get on a hoverboard again." And immediately he said, "I will keep that promise." We'll see if he keeps that promise. And hey, kids, don't dare your dads to do things. Don't do it. How many of you have dealt with broken promises? They're hard, aren't they? Broken promises. Somebody promises you something, they don't come through. Hey, everybody been on the end of a broken promise where you broke the promise? We've all been there. But tonight, we get to see when promises are kept. We know the passage is famous, Isaiah 9. If you're new to it, it's a passage written hundreds of years before Christ came. By the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says, "For to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." That was a promise that we celebrate being kept tonight. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we come to you in these moments and we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for all that's going on in our lives tonight. And Lord, I know there's people in this room that are dealing with broken promises even tonight. And Lord, all our lives, we've broke promises to people and people have broken promises to us, people we love. But Lord, tonight we talk about a promise kept by a holy God who sent his son to die on a cross for all of us. So, Lord, we give you these moments, and we thank you for these moments, just to spend some time at your feet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are three promises of Christmas that God has kept for all of us through Jesus Christ. The first promise of Christmas is the promise of nearness. Say that with me. The promise of nearness. Say it to the person next to you. The promise of nearness. Isaiah 41:10 was part of a special year in this church. Isaiah 41:10 was part, we have an annual theme every year in our church, and that the year that we had the annual theme, 20 Seconds of Courage, we got it from a really theological place. It was from a movie my kids and I had watched called We Bought a Zoo. And we talked about this, and CJ was on staff at that time as youth pastor, and he said, Pastor Chuck, I looked up this verse, Isaiah 41:10. I think it'll work for 20 Seconds of Courage. We kind of, the illustration was, it was a walking man on a sign like you see in New York where you get to walk across the street in a busy city. And the idea was having that moment of courage where you could walk into a place where God has called you to and transform your life because of increase in faith and recognizing the promises that are in Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10 says, it's on the screen here for you, it says, fear not, for I am with you. And otherwise, you don't have to fear because I am present in your life. I am there. He's telling his people of Israel who are just going through a rough time, and it really translates in our lives. I am with you. He says this, I will strengthen you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, I'm never going to let you go. I will always keep you near. I will always keep you near because you are mine. That translates in our lives as believers in the time we live in now, because that's what God says to us. You are mine. Nothing can pluck you out of my hands. That's a promise of Christmas for those in relationship with Jesus. And Jeremiah 23 through 24, that's a mouthful, right? This is what Jeremiah writes. He says, he's writing and God's declaring. He says, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Get that? Am I a God at hand? Am I here? Or am I a God that's far away? He says, can a man hide himself in secret places so I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Speaks of his omnipresence, his all-encompassing presence. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, Isaiah writes, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And Adam did such a great job. God with us. Emmanuel, say that with me. Emmanuel, say God with us. God with us. I want you to remember that as you walk through this season, that God is with us. He sent his son. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Number one, it's the promise of nearness. Number two, the promise of forgiveness. Now, in my life, I need a lot of forgiveness. How about you? A lot of forgiveness. And I have to extend a lot of forgiveness. Why? Because we've all sinned. Remember, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we just got to get over ourselves right now. We need to say this together, right? So we're all in it together. Here we go. Say it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how many people in this room have not sinned? Oh, nobody raised their hand. That'd been an uncomfortable Christmas for a family member. And Jesus came because of that sin. In John 12:46 through 47, Jesus says, I have come into the world as light. Look at that. I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So they may not remain in darkness. Jesus came with purpose to take people from darkness to light. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the promise of forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18, we go back to the prophet. He says, come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall become like wool. In other words, you will be purified by a king, by a savior, So the first promise of Christmas we talked about was the promise of nearness. The second is the promise of forgiveness. The third, the promise of love. The promise of love. Say this next verse with me. Put it up on the screen. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Who's heard that verse before? Heard that verse before? Good. If you haven't, boy, it's a life-changing verse. A guy named Billy Graham ended every service with it. Preached through it consistently. Why? Because it is the essence of the gospel. God loved you so much. In fact, the scriptures say that God loved us so much. He loved us so much He sent His Son, even though we rejected Him. We hated Him at first. But He sent His Son so that we could have eternal life. And whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. In other words, this is not, you know, whoever believes in Him and lives a good life and a perfect life and makes good decisions will have eternal life. No, because none of us will be on our way to eternity with Christ in heaven if that was the case. The moment on the cross where Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. And He had done the work to bring people into relationship with a holy God so they might have relationship with Him. And that Christmas would become more of a holiday where we buy presents and become a birthday that will last in our lives forever. The promise of love. Paul understood the promise of love. You don't know Paul's story. The Apostle Paul was on a road to kill Christians and Jesus intersected his life and transformed him. And he wrote this in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." I've spent a lot of time with men talking about their marriages and their kids and just doing life together. And one thing I always talk about is we have to die to live. We have to die to self and live for Christ. What does that look like in a man's life? For most of it looks like living and putting our wives' needs and things above our own. What it means is our children being a priority. It's a short season. Let me tell you, I'm walking through the back end of it. It's short. And we have to make them the priority. And I talk with men all the time about this, about dying to self and living for Christ. I've seen it transform multiple men. They realize that life is not about them. It's about Christ in them. And that transforms your life and makes you exhibit the promise of love that was exhibited to you by Jesus. And as we see that, as we recognize that in Paul, I mean, Paul's words are so strong. "I have been crucified with Christ." In other words, "I have died in Him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." It's not driven by my wants and needs. It's driven by a faith because I believe that God has His best ahead for me because He loves me and gave Himself up for me. It's a promise of love. John 3:17, the second verse, and it just brings it all together. He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." That is the message of tonight. Amen? That is the message. Jesus is King. Amen? And He's going to reign. He's going to reign forever. And you don't have to worry about it. The one thing that I engage in these moments is, do you know about Jesus or do you really know Jesus? See, knowing about Jesus is knowing the story, you know, knowing Christmas, getting Easter right, all those things, and you know, that's okay, but it doesn't bring eternal life. Knowing Jesus is bowing your knee before the Lord and saying, "You know what, I admit my sin. I know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I admit that. I admit that I can never reach Your holiness, God. And I believe, Jesus, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father, come to heaven, but by You." And at this moment, maybe you're here and you're like, I do admit that. I do believe that. But maybe you missed this part where you confess Him as Lord of your life and you say, "Jesus, I want You to be Lord of my life. I want to be like Paul. I want to die to myself and live for You." Maybe you need to make that decision tonight. One great thing about making that decision on a night like this, you never forget the date. the same time every year? Different day, same date? Just think, you write a testimony that says, I met Jesus Christmas Eve 2019. That's a story starter right there. He shall reign forevermore. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. I'm asking the worship band to come up and sing one more song for us.